Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, I've been at it on the farm for a while, and I've been building a raised bed garden system with a gravity-fed drip irrigation system attached to it. My guest a little later in the show via Zoom will be organic gardening expert Inspector Dave. He will share his expertise about drip irrigation systems. Well, I am blessed because the farm I bought in the location, they have deer fencing on two monstrous gardens. Well, it keeps the deer out and also many of the other critters. And again, it's one less cost that I had to do. That whole area, it's probably about 3 acres big. I will actually put deer fencing around the whole thing in time. Well, the previous owners, their gardens were contained here. Here's my reason for the raised bed. Really, there's one major and then one minor one. Well, I've got vertigo, so I can't go up and down, up and down. If I go up and down, I get dizzy. Most people say I've gone through my life dizzy. Well, yeah. Well, so by working on a raised bed, I don't have to bend down all the time. And over time, it's ease of body. And I'll get into how I constructed that in a little bit. Because you see, the first thing I always do is I go to YouTube. And I look at like 15, 30 videos. And I take like months because I'm a prep type of guy. So I just kept watching videos, getting ideas and saying, okay, what can I use from this person, this person? How do they build this way? And it's a great way to learn. Well, what I decided on was this year, because we'll extend the garden out, you know, as the years go on, I've got a 4-foot by 8-foot garden raised bed at a height of 24 inches. And it's going to have a gravity-fed water system. Well, the cost. Lumber right now, because during COVID, many people were not going on vacations, so they were doing additions on their homes and building decks, etc. So lumber is at its all-time high. I calculated, and it was going to cost me $363 to build this 4x8x2 feet raised bed. Well, I went to previous owners. They had a lumber pile there, and half the lumber I needed was there. So it only cost me half that. And I'm sure as time goes on now, lumber prices will come down. So now, think about this. I don't care whatever you're going to do around your home, upgrade somewhere. Here's the key to building. And I always listen to my dad. He says, if you're going to build something, you need to make sure that it's level and square. Well, I've got some woodworking skills. Learned those from dad. I've got the right tools because dad said, don't build unless you have the right tools for that job. So leveling off the ground, it was easy because this is digging in the previous owner's old garden. Well, here's the key thing. I wanted to build a bench seat and I built on the 8-foot lengths. I built bench seats on it because now when you want to work at your garden, you can walk over, sit on a bench, and work. There's something to the comfort side. So you see when I said there was two reasons why I said ease of body? Well, there's one of them. Well, the next cost, if you're going to be doing this, because I'm always a dollar and cents guys, and I always let you know what things are going to cost. The next thing was soil to fill. Well, I'm an organic gardener. This is an organic farm. And I said, well, paying for organic soil, then ding, 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 previous owners, Mike, Michelle, McKenzie, awesome people. I just said, wait. Mike told me that he's got a pile of organic mushroom soil. So I went over and there were 3 yards of mushroom soil. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or on one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So now I needed to get the mushroom soil over to the gardens. But remember, they're deer enclosed fencing, and there's a little gate to open up to get into it. So I pulled out my tractor, the bucket, filled up the soil, drove over, left the bucket like two and a half feet up, suspended in air. And then I had a 5-gallon spackle bucket. It wasn't a spackle inside of it. Clean bucket. And I would fill that with soil. And because it was mushroom soil, it was light. But you think about how much soil that's got to get put inside of this. And I did it in a 2-day span because, hey, if you're spending enough time to do things and planning things out, there's no sense in killing yourself doing it. So as the soil got put in, I would tamp it down. And tamping simply is just lightly pushing down on the soil, so you, because you don't want compacted soil ever. And you really don't know what your soil level is going to be until you really tamp it down. And then I began to add some soil amendments to it. I added green sand, which has some great micronutrients inside of it for plants. I highly recommend that for your garden. I didn't get a chance because, again, where I moved to out in farmland country here, there I couldn't find any bumper crop, and bumper crop will be added next year pre-planting. I will make sure I go back to the old village and get some bumper crop where I know I can get it. Now, for the gravity-fed water system and the drip irrigation. I went to, and you can do this, I went to a pickle company, called them in advance, and they're always getting rid of their pickle barrels. They are plastic barrels, 55-gallon. I asked for two of them because I'm using one this year. Next year, we'll expand out and put an extra raised bed in next to it, and the year after, and just keep, you know, progressively doing that. Well, I had to clean out the barrel. Not a big deal. A lot of rinsing, little dish detergent, but it's got to be rinsed very, very well. Now, you need a spigot on the bottom. So, spoke to Inspector Dave for a little bit, and I went searching, and on Amazon, I found a great brass spigot system made just for drip irrigation barrels. So, I purchased that. Now, here's the deal. Think about the spigots at the bottom of the barrel. You can't reach your arm into the bottom of the barrel, and now you've got to tighten the nut on the inside of the barrel for the spigot. So what do? I use my dad's ingenuity, take a long metal rod, tilt the barrel down. I've got the spigot on one side, and I got the metal rod pressing the nut for it on the inside of the barrel, and I tighten it up. So yes, thanks, Dad, for that one. So I appreciate it. Now, for a drip irrigation system, they're saying that they would like the barrel to be 4 feet above the garden. Well, my garden isn't on the ground, like Inspector Dave's, and he'll talk more about his drip irrigation system when we have him on the show in a little bit. Mine is already 2 feet up, so I built a stanchion that was going to put my barrel at 4 feet above, because 6 feet up would just be crazy high. Think about this, when you need to attend to the barrel and safety side of it. So I went up 4 feet. I built a platform for it. I call it the lifeguard chair because that's what it looks like. Took some exterior paint. See, remember, everything you're doing here isn't an instant like, hey, let's just do this today. It's like taking weeks at a time. So I had to plan this out over probably from late winter, but over early spring going through. And after I painted the lifeguard chair, I was able to then take 4 patio blocks, level them next to the raised bed, put the lifeguard chair on it, make sure that it is level. Then I was able to put the barrel on top of it, make sure that it's secure. And I used one strap, even though it was going to be balanced and weighted, I wanted to make sure, so I put a strap on that I typically use for my kayaks, good strap on it. And I filled the barrel there. I then, thanks to Inspector Dave, he gave me some mosquito netting for the top part of the barrel, which I secured with a rope and a double hitch knot on it. So this way, you don't have mosquito larvae in there, which we don't need extra mosquitoes in life, so we got that. Now, here became a problem. I purchased the drip irrigation systems, and they sell them in kits. So I buy this kit that's highly rated. It's a quarter inch. And I realized as I'm testing, before I even put plants in the garden, there was not enough pressure coming through that system. Part of it was due to, you know, I wasn't 4 feet above, and the other is quarter inch. It just does not have enough pressure. So I kept figuring out, trying, and then I was putting a battery-powered timer on it. So this way I could just say, I want the water, the garden watered at X o'clock. And, well, the problem was the timer says, oh, it's a half inch. That's the outside diameter. The inside diameter also is a quarter inch. And there wasn't enough pressure. So my dad, and I use him often in this show, you could understand it, taught me to think like an inventor. But I'm going to let you know that my invention of my drip irrigation system is the story for another show. So I will actually do a show on how I created a innovative drip irrigation system. And by the way, I'm not just bragging on this one. I truly believe it's better than the systems that are out there, but I will share that with you on another show. So my plants. So I have, and I'm not a big tomato guy because I can't have too much acid in the stomach over there. So I've got a Roma type tomato, and it's a determinant. And you want to make sure that if you know your tomato plants are determinant or indeterminate. Determinant means they're going to grow to a specific height. Indeterminate means they will just keep growing. Well, if you got a raised bed, you just can't have your tomato plant just keep growing, because those of you that are on the ground that have indeterminants, some of them might grow 6-7 feet tall. So I've got that one. And from chiliplants.com, and that's who I did research with many years ago, I purchased a couple of different cherry tomato plants, or cherry tomatoes like them. They didn't have any TAMs this year. The TAMs are the best for jarring, but sometimes when you're, again, you're growing millions of plants, and literally they are, some plants aren't doing as well. They'll just pull them out of the system and substitute with other ones. So I went with that. I've got one super, what is it called? It was a large green bell that will eventually shade red on it. Got that one. And then I've got the Moneymaker eggplant. See, many people grow these huge eggplants, and you only get a few. If you grow the Moneymakers, which are smaller ones, it is a prolific plant and just keeps growing and growing eggplants, and I'd rather have it that way. And my favorite type of summer squash is the crookneck squash, and I've got one plant of those inside of there as well, because one plant will just, it just keeps cranking. If you've ever grown crooknecks before, you'll notice how many you will get out of it. Well, to deter the bad bugs, because yes, folks, there are bad bugs out there, I put marigolds and basil around it. And the smells and scents of them confuse the bad bugs, and they don't want to go near. So that's actually a great border for you to put, mixing in basils and marigolds around the outside. And then I put a mixture of, at the very end, because I know this is going to be short term, I've got 4 different types of lettuces, you know, the green romaines, red romaines. And then I put down my favorite lettuce in, I'll say, in a huge patch of arugula. And the old Italian gentleman who worked in the nursery, Al, where I grew up, and the nursery where I sold plants, not kids. My little botany joke I like to use. Well, Al would just say, you don't just cut down, like people would wait for this head of romaine to grow and cut it down. Al's going, no. You just keep cutting the outside leaves, and as you keep cutting the outside leaves, more leaves grow. And from one head, you'll probably end up harvesting 4 or 5 heads as you just cut them. So every morning, and I was already out in the deer enclosures this morning before I came into the studio, and I already picked, a large bowl, enough lettuce for lunch and dinner every single day in one cutting. And I'm just cutting specific leaves. And very shortly, the heat will affect the arugula. They will just die down, and that's what they do. It's a bolt, it goes to seed. And there's another lettuce called Red Sail. And Red Sail is a heat-resistant lettuce. And very shortly, I will be planting some Red Sail inside there. And because I am an organic gardener, I feed them kelp and fish emulsion. So we've discussed the raised bed garden, how we set everything up for the garden. Now let's talk drip irrigation. So let me introduce my guest today, organic garden expert, Inspector Dave.
Inspector Dave, welcome to the show here.
Hello, Joey B. Always a pleasure to be included in your little podcast operation here.
Well, you know something? You always add so much to it. So before we get to drip irrigation, my question to you is, how does your organic garden grow this year?
Well, it's been an interesting year. The weather extremes have certainly impacted a lot of things. The strength of the plants is a little, it's starting to pick up now because the weather settled down, but we had drought in the beginning. It was cold. Then we had torrential rain. So it's been an odd year to get things going. We're just noticing a little bit with seed germination is a little back, and the plants are just starting to all take off now. All the pre-grown plants that we have there, the eggplant, tomato, peppers, are all starting to take off now. So it's been a good training year experiencing. I have an apprentice working with me in the garden this year, so it's good for him to see the pros and the cons and how much weather does really affect our gardening. So it really gives you a sense of what farmers go through, too, when they're going through it for a living. And we just do it more as a hobby and educational fun project. But if you're really doing this for a living, boy, you are at the mercy of the weather, that's for sure.
Yeah, and again, this year here, as you're saying, there were great extremes and again, caused problems. But as you always say, that becomes a learning tool. You're learning from, again, the experience of what happened in a drought, what happened in, you know, because we had some real cold nights. And then when the heat came, it came cranking.
Yes. Yes, for sure. So we're in a drought period where we really made sure we had to, you know, keep our watering program going. You know, keeping the seeds moist so they would sprout properly. And then it does impact critter control. It makes it even more of a challenge because the animals start coming looking for moisture in the plants and they'll nibble at the plants. The birds this year, I always had trouble with the sparrows picking at the peas, the sugar snap peas. So I have to make sure I net them. And they were actually teaching the cardinals how to do it this year. So I had like at least two different variety of birds out there picking at my pea plants. So it does probably hurt the plant a little bit. They pick the tendrils off and eat the leaves. And now I'm looking out the window as I talk and there's no birds on there right now, but it was, you know, kind of spending part of the day going out there and just clapping my hands and chasing them away, you know, because they would still go through the net a little bit and pick at stuff. So it's something to think about when you get weather extremes and it does affect other things too.
Well, it's funny that as you are the educator in your garden, the sparrows were educating the cardinals, you see? So education continues throughout all the different species in the organic garden. So here's the go, Inspector Dave. My question to you is, if you could explain drip irrigation, and as you're explaining, I may bounce a few questions through it. So if you don't mind explaining the benefits and if there are any detriments to it, so please explain that to us.
So drip irrigation is actually a centuries-old concept. It goes, if you look at agricultural history, it goes back way, way back, and not necessarily systems like we have now, obviously, with technology, but people buried pots in the ground, clay pots with little holes in them, and they put them down in the root zone. And that was really the first rudimentary drip irrigation system, just that dripped out through the bottom of the pot. So farmers and people growing crops and flowers realized years ago that getting the moisture down in the ground is much more beneficial for the plants because it's down in the root zone where the plants are looking for moisture. That's what the roots do. They pick up nutrients and moisture. So if you get the moisture as close to that root zone as possible, it makes the plant a lot happier in its growing environment.
All right. So we've got then the reasons why we want to get it there. Now, explain the system that you use. If we could start there.
Well, the whole thing is that you're trying to conserve water. That's the main goal of a watering system when you put drip irrigation in. You think about water worldwide. Right now, there's always going to be a water shortage. It's just for the next centuries, there'll be water shortages as the population of the world increases and manufacturing requires water. There's always going to be a need for water. So if we can conserve the water that we're putting into our gardens, whether it's vegetables or flowers, whether in a hobby garden or in a widespread multi-acre field somewhere, using that water conservatively is always beneficial for the environment, because water costs money. Let's face it, whether you're pumping it from a well, buying it from a city municipal line, or taking it from a pond with a pump, there's always money involved in getting this water into your garden. So the best way we can do that is, it's any water that we do get out of there, we want to use it so that it's used to its utmost, that every drop of water we're putting into that garden is going to the plants and not into the atmosphere.
So with that being said, you have a system from Canada called Irrigrow, correct?
Right. I have a Canadian system. I've been using it for, probably 25 or 30 years now. Little Tyvek tubing. So it's like drip tape. There's other companies that sell these type of systems. So there's, we use it, it's called a drip tape, and it's microporous tubing. So you hook it up to the gravity barrels, which is my water supply. So I get, it's a low pressure system. And then the lines are buried subsurface, down about an inch or two below the surface, and covered with soil to protect them from the UV damage and light, so the hoses will last longer. And then they just weep the entire season. So I have a steady water supply down in the root system underground, and it really works well. And I use rainwater from the roof so that I was able to, you know, get free water. So the only expense I really have is pumping the water to get it up into the gravity barrels. So it's economical, you know, to use that.
Now, correct. And again, obviously I've been to your organic garden many times and have harvested many crops from it as well. You actually have the rain barrels, you have rain barrels attached to your house, and then you have a pump there that pumps it all the way to the garden, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's, we have to get it, you know, we have to elevate it to get it up get the pressure out of it. They're about 5 feet in the air, I guess, my barrels are elevated.
Right, and that was one of the problems, because in the system that I'm creating here, because it's a raised bed system, so we're talking about the soil level is already up 2 feet, and they were saying to put barrels 4 feet above that. But there was a couple of reasons, and one was even safety side of putting them up 6 feet high. So I built what I called my lifeguard chair, and my barrel is 4 feet up. So really it's 2 feet above the garden from perspective of raised bed. And the pressure there wasn't great enough for me, because the systems that they're selling out there are quarter inch tubing, and the pressure just wasn't good enough. Any thoughts about that?
Well, there's different type of systems. You know, the drip tape, like I was using here, you know, works at a very low pressure. Then there's emitter systems they have. Then there's little spray heads. There's a number of different types of systems that you use for drip irrigation. So you have to figure out what you have available pressure-wise, whether you're going to run it through a pressure barrel like that or a pressure pump. There's different ways of feeding the system. But so that's something you got to figure out what works in your locality where you're doing it. When they're doing it, I think on bigger farms, it's basically they either the pond is higher on the property and they get the gravity that way from the elevation of the land, or they just pressurize it with a pump system of some sort and use a pressure regulator on it and possibly a timer. I just leave mine on all the time. Some people have drip irrigations depending on the volume coming out of it. And they turn them on and off at different times, but I like to leave mine on all the time. So it's just like a steady water for them. And it really does increase the productivity of the plants. The plants are really happy to just have a stable environment. So if you can at least stabilize their water for them, then they're going to reward you with really healthy growth and certainly productivity. As you know, from my garden is off the charts for the small area that I actually have under agriculture.
Oh, absolutely. And if you remember years ago, when we first started to film with Joey B TV, we went down to Scropolis Farms and Farmer George down there with his huge irrigation system. He had drip irrigation systems through his farm.
Right. And, you know, a lot of the bigger fields, they use overhead watering, which obviously if you got multi acres of property, overhead sprinklers or spray systems are economical from once because the setup is easy. They can move them around. But overhead watering is very, very wasteful because a lot of it is lost to evaporation. Or to wind. And if you're using a biologically unstable water, maybe you're using a gray water source or a pond, you're putting actually toxins into the air. So if you have people working out there, you know, there could be some biological exposure for them that could be a negative for them. And then also you get droplets of water on the plants, which acts like a magnifying glass. So if you get a hot sun coming down, then it's going to burn the leaves of the plant possibly, you know, from that magnification of the water droplets.
Well, also when you water from above, you could be splashing disease from the soil back up onto the plant. So drip irrigation alleviates that.
Right. Yes. Soil splash. Remember, a lot of our disease that our plants suffer from, a lot of them are soil borne, and a lot of them stay in there for years. It's hard to get rid of disease in the soil 100%. So if you splash up that soil from overhead watering, you're splashing that soil onto the lower leaves of the plant, and then it may pick up a disease that's going to travel up the plants and all that. So that getting rid of that soil splash is really a good idea. And also for erosion control, you're doing overhead watering and maybe you're not paying attention to the way the lay of the land is, you're getting erosion, so you're losing some of your topsoil. And you could be having fertilizer runoff, which could be going to your ponds or other waterways and creating an algae bloom.
No, that all of what you're describing is important. And one of the things, and I know sort of off topic, but still part of this, is you do a lot of crop rotation because of disease in the soil, correct?
Yes, I do that. Crop rotation is important. It's difficult in smaller gardens to do that, you know, if you only have a small backyard garden. But anyway, if you have bigger areas, you know, crop rotating is always good for disease control, insect control, because you can get certain insects for certain types of plants that may lay eggs that overwinter in the soil. And also just to the nutrients, because the nutrient balance in the soil can get more. Some plants are heavier feeders than others, so that you can at least run the nutrient balance, you know, through the soil a little bit better that way from the plant. So one plant might be really heavy feeder, one might be a light feeder. Something like peas and beans actually put nitrogen back into the soil, so there's positives there. So rotation is very important.
Nice. Now, what else can you tell us about drip irrigation?
Well, another thing you can do is adding fertilizer to the system. So if you have either an inducer or an injector system, if you have a pump, or you can just add some liquid fertilizer to your barrels, and you can introduce some fertilizer, whether it's a kelp or fish emulsion or some other type of liquid fertilizer, you can induce that through the system, and then that finds its way down into the root system. Again, economy of use of your fertilizers, you're putting it right down in the soil, right where the plant's roots are looking for water and for fertilizer. So that's another one there too.
No, to me, that in itself becomes an important one as we feed our plants. And again, like you said, it depends on the size of the garden. And if we're always, and we are, as being not just organic, but economical gardeners, you're cutting down on the cost of just like some people that use, and we don't use the Miracles Grow. They have the little gipper that attaches to the hose. And you're spraying like everything in the history of the world to try to, instead of, and by the way, we already know this, so we'll share it with other people because we're good guys, that using organics is cheaper and obviously healthier. So if you can do it right into the root system, that's a bonus.
Right. And another thing too, it kind of brings up like a counterpoint that let's say you are doing chemicals for some reason, you're spraying your plants with all these different chemicals, you do overhead watering, you're just washing the chemicals right off the plant, so you're not getting the benefit from them. So you're really totally throwing your money away using chemicals and just washing them off the plants and, you know, into the soil.
No, and hey, we need to be careful of not only our gardens, but our neighbors, because, you know, with runoff and then with algae blooms with farmers, and again, that's actually become very big across the country, is slowing down when the farmers are using lots of nitrogen and phosphorus in the water and the blooms that go along with them.
Right. Yeah. So many of the states have started to regulate phosphorus, you know, in the fertilizers because of the runoff that goes on. And not just farmers, but it's from all the lawns that people are growing, and landscapers and homeowners are just throwing tons and tons of this chemical fertilizer onto the ground, you know, without really much training or knowledge. And then we get like a heavy storm where you get those 2 or 3 inch cloud bursts from the thunderstorms, and it sort of just washes down the street. And pretty much all your storm sewers that you see in your street, they all go to a waterway, whether it goes to a river or a lake or the ocean, and they're just contributing to that. We see it in the Gulf of Mexico, the amount of fertilizer runoff that they have down there is just crazy.
Absolutely. So any other good points with drip irrigation?
Not just, you know, you're going to have initial expense of setting it up and buying materials, but the systems are generally pretty durable. And when you get it all ready to go, just watch it, you know, watch for little leaks in the system, you know, keep your water on the pure side. You don't want to put chunky water in there. I call it chunky water with a lot of solids in it, because that would obviously block the emitters and stuff. So some people use a filter. I just have little filters in the filter washers that are in the line, and that I just rinse them out every once a week or so, because I use the rainwater, so they get a little slimy once in a while. And then you just, I have little valves at the end so I can bleed the system down and bleed out any impurities that are in there. And it helps me check the pressure, make sure the pressure's staying up good. But there's many, you can do a homemade kit. I know you put some different articles together from the box store, the hardware store, and you made up your own little system. Then there's commercial systems you can buy, you know, whether you want to do the drip tape or the emitters or the little sprinkler heads, or there's all different types of systems. You just got to see, it depends what you're growing. They're great for vegetable gardens, but you can also use them for flower gardens. You know, a lot of people just grow flowers, and that's fine, and because that's great for the pollinators and people growing for bouquets and all that, and just for the beauty in the garden. So you can also irrigate your flower gardens too.
It's something that we should utilize more all across the board. Right. So Inspector Dave, I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show. Every time you come on the show, I learn something. So sometimes it's just like what I'm learning, but you get to share this across the world. So I just want to thank you for your knowledge.
Okay. Thank you for including me, and thank you everybody for listening, and I hope you follow some good organic practices in your vegetable garden. That's the way to go for sure.
Absolutely. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.